system. They passed me through school not wanting to teach me because they didn't know how to teach me. They don't know how to teach people with learning disabilities like myself, like I'm dyslexic and hyperkinetic. And the thing is, they don't know how to handle, teach these kids, so they put them in special classes, special ed, and hope that the problem will just go away. They're a problem child. They just need to be away from the other kids, controlled. As long as they're behaving, they'll pass them, and that's not right. They're not teaching the kids. They're not actually giving them knowledge. With me, I can't even write. And that's not cool. I'm 20 years old, I should be able to write.
The school system really failed you and left you unprepared to make a living.
Exactly.
They're building more prisons than schools and universities, and 16 prisons in the last 10 years versus one university, and they're building 20 more new prisons. They don't want people to be educated. They want people to be slaves in their Nazi fascist concentration camps.
And what's your name? You can give a nickname if you'd like. Yeah, okay. And how long have you been homeless? She doesn't want to...
Well, she's been out here for not that long, but she's been out here long enough to see it. It's hard. It's real hard. She'd rather not speak. You know, a lot of people don't like speaking, you know, especially when a lot of people are going to be heard.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, all 10 of our listeners.
Yeah, you got to excuse me. I'm eating at the moment.
Uh-huh. Well, people got to eat. People got to sleep. People got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I usually end up feeding people before I eat myself. I end up fucking... Sorry, excuse my language.
That's all right. This is a free radio.
You can say fuck on free
rules.
Radio.
Oh, okay.
We're not under FCC rules.
Oh.
So you can say fuck.
Oh, well, I end up taking care of people better than I take care of myself. It's not good, but the thing is, a lot of people out here I consider family. I look after people like family, and that's what people do for me out here. It's like a big family. We are very friendly people, but thing is, you just don't hurt anybody in our family. That's it.
So, your friend here who is opting to not speak, and I respect that, and she's 14 years old and was kicked out for your family. I'm not going to say your name. Yeah, your family asked you. They didn't... You left home because of a difficult family situation, and you've been out on the streets for a month now. Okay, you'll have to answer for her because she doesn't want to speak.
Yeah, she said something like that, around a month, a little over actually, I think.
Have you found any help from, say, the Homeless Resource Community Center or any other organization, or maybe gone down to get food stamps at Emmeline?
I went and got food stamps. It's just that I can probably get other things. It's just so much hassle because I don't really know where to start. And a lot of times they don't help you through it.
How about the Above the Line program that is for teenagers?
Don't know it. I'm not a teenager anymore.
Well, your friend here is, and she's 14.
She is, yeah, I don't know about it.
So maybe you might want to check into that. I'm not sure how they can help you, but it seems like at 14 years old, you shouldn't be living on the streets.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm screaming. That's it. That's what I'm screaming. No, who should be living on the streets? Nobody. Food and shelter should be free. Food and shelter and medicine should be free, and wherever, and everything else, should be paid for if you want it. But food and shelter and medicine should be free for everybody.
Thanks a lot, Green, and thank you, Mystery Girl. This is 96.3 FM Free Radio Santa Cruz. And you're listening to Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides from Jail. And I'm your hostess, Becky Johnson. And now, for a little Diana Ross with Funny
slips away.
Weekly, he has a fairly big audience, and yet he personally. personally is just full of misinformation and negative myths.
He's also
about
full of shit.
People. And, you know, that, you know, he says, well, Santa Cruz, we have way more than our share of homeless people. And I tried to dispute him, you know, because, you know, nationwide homelessness is 1 to 3%. And he just ignored me.
The Rodkin syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it was the, you know, we shouldn't provide services for homeless people because that will just invite homeless people from all over the country and the world to come to our doors, and that homeless people are lazy and they don't want to work, and that they're all a bunch of alcoholics and drug addicts, and you know, I work hard for my money, and you know, and people are homeless because of their own personal failings and bad choices that they've made. And you know, when I tried to say Steve, you know, it was not easy to get in a word edgewise, I might say.
Right.
Steve, the experts say that homelessness is caused by low wages and high cost of housing, neither of which is a personal problem.
Did he hear anything you said?
I don't think so. Then I asked him about your cartoon, the one that...
Another rant.
Yeah, yeah. It was the Robert Norris rant.
He was often ranting.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, Robert Norris isn't for the homeless. Robert Norris is just about Robert Norris. That's all Robert Norris is about. And
I've heard that before.
Yeah. I asked him, what's the humor of joking about jailhouse rape?
He said, oh, you have to have been there to have noticed it.
He was not at all funny.
Right.
You know, in this 20 minutes, there was, you know, for someone who is a comic artist.
Well, I don't know if cartoon writers are particularly funny when they talk. Particularly people who lampoon. Because he's a caricaturist.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm glad he's a caricaturist. I like it when he caricatures Kennedy and Kennedy. He occasionally does that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he obviously is.
On, you know, the bottom portion of our society, the people that, you know, have the least and are the most fragile circumstances, and, you know, your power would be to pick on the powerful that are misusing it.
He did say he did pick on the powerful.
Yeah, he did. He did say that. Mm-hmm.
And occasionally he does. You know, that's true. Usually he ignores the homeless. But the fact that he, you know, doesn't ignore them, to savagely caricature and misrepresent them and slander them, it's, you know, puts them more in the Buckley tradition than in the Oliphant tradition.
Yeah, it's kind of like a more like a Rush Limbaugh or something.
Rush Limbaugh is a Nazi punk too.
Sounds like you're the,
so is Pete Wilson.
He called me a bleeding heart liberal.
Ooh, a bleeding heart liberal.
You bleeding heart liberals. And I said, well, you know, I probably fit that description. No. Yeah. You know, I said, Stephen, don't you realize that every person is precious? Every person is valuable?
Oh, dear.
There are no throwaways. And he was about barfing, I think.
Don't barf on me.
Don't barf on me, Stephen DeCinto.
Don't barf on me. So.
Oh. Anyway, that was kind of funny. If you'd like to write Robert Norris Kahn in jail, send all correspondence to one prisoner number 1472209, and he's in CJ8-F pod, F as in Frank, pod, POD-41B, and he's at 425 7th Street, San Francisco, California, 94103. Yeah, so send him magic cards. He really wants them. Hear about it now.
So I played magic this morning for the first time with the whole deck arrived of cards.
Really?
You can send in like a bunch of cards. Apparently that works.
Wow.
Tell Alex to send in a bunch of white cards or a bunch of green cards. I got a bunch of black cards now.
For those who don't know it, Robert Norris is now in jail for serving food to the poor, hungry, and the oppressed. And that's a goddamn shame.
No, I haven't sent any of those yet.
You know, pretty soon they'll be arresting us for thought crimes, just like Big Brother's watching you. This fascist, totalitarian police state. Fuck the government. Fuck the FCC. Fuck all you asshole Nazi punk motherfuckers. The revolution is on, and we're going to do something. About it. We're doing something now. Free radio is just the beginning.
Thank you. Becky Johnson, your hostess for the hour, and shortly you'll be hearing from Mad Mike the Wonder Dog on 96.3 FM Free Radio, Santa Cruz. And now, some more of that interview with Robert Norse from County Jail 8, in which he discussed an article that appeared in the Metro News about an island for tequila.
It's only one reference, but, you know, in the context of the whole article.
I think that, you know, the appropriate response to a letter writer would be something like, the people who have no rules are obviously the city councils who are trying to make up new ones all the time regarding shortcutting the Constitution and eliminating protest rights and coming up with a widely different statements about the sleeping ban and how it's enforced throughout Santa Cruz, and then changing the rules that they use to deal with the protest in terms of the fines that are allowed, the displays that are allowed, the rules about seizing blankets, how many blankets they have. They're the ones that are changing their stories. Protesters have been uniform and simply making a call for a reasonable modification of the sleeping ban that would bring Santa Cruz into the 20th century, and Santa Cruz's political elite did not want to respond. So the people that are violating the rules are not the protesters, who are really quite cognizant of the rules since they're under the eye of the police. Rather, it's the politicians who are maintaining essentially a state of siege for homeless people in Santa Cruz. Arrested many times for an essential human activity. And then when they're intrepid enough to raise their voice, further legal penalties and further legal attacks under an unprecedented injunction.
Well, I think it's interesting about this injunction is that everybody is talking about Judge Stevens, Mike Rodkin. Apparently it's all out in the open that the whole purpose of the injunction is to shut down the protest and has nothing to do with any health or safety violations associated with the protest or nothing to do with any criminal behavior other than, you know, sleeping and covering up with blankets, which is the whole point of the protest. And it seems like nobody seems to realize that this is a major affront on constitutional rights to protest.
Yeah, although I think Rodkin probably realized it when he withdrew his regulation 2 weeks ago, because he probably became aware of the fact that even somebody as emotionally involved in opposing the protest and fighting some of the major people in the protest as, Squawk Box Scott Kennedy, or what do I call it, Camp Killer Kennedy, the city council person, he probably wouldn't go for this clearly selective attack on protesters to the detriment of any kind of protest at City Hall at night. So, Rodkin is probably realizing the best way to kill this protest is to ignore it. The protesters themselves are not that coherent in terms of staying together. I mean, they come together and they're amazing if they continue. My hats are off to them, or my lack of hats. Had I a hat, I would take it off.
No hats in the glamour slammer, huh?
That's correct. But I did put on a hairnet as I served breakfast this morning.
Oh, you served breakfast?
By two prisoners of repeating my crime, and they threatened to call the police. I told them that I would have to continue to serve, even if they called the deputies, and the deputy chortled at that one, and I gave the next inmate his Malto meal and scrambled egg.
Uh-huh. Could you also comment about the cases coming up tomorrow as we speak, but as you know, free radio listeners will be hearing it. It's probably going on as we're speaking. Ed Chun, the public defender, is
Mitch Chen and Larry Hildes from Berkeley and Kate Wells from Santa Cruz are going to be dealing with a demurrer, which is a constitutional challenge to the sleeping ban law, through which a lot of the City Hall protesters are being arraigned. Sleeping ban law, as anybody who's listened to the station knows, is a city ordinance, makes it illegal to sleep outside after 11. One case of it is an infraction, second case in 48 hours is a misdemeanor. There's never been a misdemeanor case that's actually gone to trial, although there are three currently in the courts, possibly four now. Sean Alimi, Ian Faith, or is it Faith Ian? I can never remember which. It's also known as, Nikki Mooncat, also known as James Basso. Or is it Basso?
Basso.
And then there's one more. I think they filed against Flory or somebody else. A misdemeanor means you can serve up to 6 months in jail. So it's a serious case. You're allowed a public defender and a jury trial in those cases, whereas infractions, you have to represent yourself or get a volunteer to volunteer.
Could you try to anticipate what sort of arguments Ed Chun might put forth about the constitutionality of the sleeping ban?
I've been very cynical about Ed Chun and other public defenders. It's perhaps sometimes without cause, because public defenders have, in fact, ably defended.
For those of you tuning in, this is 96.3 FM, Santa Cruz.
Tyrant Radio, baby.
Robert Norris interviewed from jail. Before I go off the air, I'll give you his address again here. You can write him. Show your support.
They haven't written me regarding any kind of defense meetings they've had with Ed Chun. Those kinds of meetings are important. I mean, there are a number of arguments that could be made. Chun should obviously contact Ray Grunike, legal worker in Santa Cruz, who was an attorney for 20 years, who handled all these cases locally and did marvelous defense. They come up with all kinds of new things every time, every trial. He volunteered his services to come to every single sleeping trial that came down the pike, and there were literally scores of them, if not hundreds. He believed very fervently that the law was wrong, unconstitutional, abusive, classist, obscene, costly, wasteful, everything you can mention. And the defenses he used were that the law of violated free speech, particularly when applied to protests. If you're having a sleeping ban protest, sleeping is expressive speech. It has a significant content to it. It conveys a significant public message. And indeed, there were conflicting higher court decisions in the 80s that said, one of them said, you can put up tents, but you can't sleep. Another one said, you can sleep, but you can't camp. And there's sort of a number of confusing decisions, but there were some support for the idea that sleep is expressive speech. City Attorney Condotti will tell you otherwise, and so will Attorney John Barasone, who's also the city attorney, but there are some precedents to be argued there. Chun could argue the law is unconstitutional for a number of reasons, that it unfairly regulates the times that poor people can sleep, saying that you can only sleep during the day and only in certain places. That he could argue that, of course, it violates the right to travel. He could argue that it's selectively enforced and only enforced against political protesters or only enforced against people the police don't like. He could argue that it is selectively prosecuted.
And how about just that it violates
say is pertinent and is real.
Everywhere.
test of disadvantages of having call waiting.
Making all your court dates and making all your appointments and following through. And if you miss one step, then it becomes a contempt of court charge, and that's much more serious.
Well, no, it becomes a failure to appear. Not a contempt of court. Contempt of court is when you deliberately violate a court order or you act up in court. But
so what is the difference between failure to appear?
Failure to appear means you didn't show up when you said you were going to, and that's considered a misdemeanor. If it's if you make a court appearance and then you promise to be at a court appearance by signing a ticket and then don't, then that's failure to appear. Now, my advice to people who are charged with this is to plead not guilty in all cases. They have to show it's a willful failure to appear.
Mm.
But and usually they drop it because it's a misdemeanor, therefore you get a jury trial. Although there's some dangerous court rulings that came down a couple of days ago around that issue, which people should consider, although it's nothing new that they don't allow you a jury trial if it's less than 6 months. One way they could suddenly get a lot of people in jail without attorneys is start giving out potential sentences of less than 6 months of misdemeanors, and then suddenly all these jail crimes will no longer have jury trials or public defenders. Pretty ominous possibility. But it isn't happening yet. Anyway, the...
What is going on with this prison system? Are they just trying to...
Well, let's return to what's happening in court.
All right, yeah. Please.
And of course, by the time people have heard this, probably it'll already be over. It may be continued. People may push these things down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that the attorneys ask for a continuance if they don't have good arguments ready. And I suspect they don't, because I heard that there's not much going on. The attorneys are doing other things.
They say the protesters are in the courtroom right now as the radio station, as this message being said.
Constitutional infringement.
City Hall protesters.
If you go into federal court, this is unfortunately a state court, so they have to deal. They have the California Supreme Court precedent, the Tobe case, to deal with. But there are other aspects of it, like... I remember with our guest some weeks back.
James Purcell.
James Leatherlung's James Purcell, as we used to call him back in the days of the union, was homeless in Santa Cruz. He's working on a case where he's fighting the sleeping ban as it applies to vehicles. And that's hopefully a successful quest on his part.
Yeah, I hope he is successful because, talk about a victimless crime. You know, someone's in their vehicle and sleeping. I mean, how does that impact anyone negatively?
Well, there are some arguments that people make that, you know, if you allow vehicles in a beachside resort town to sleep in their vehicles in residential neighborhoods, they will do so in great numbers and create a health and safety hazard because they will defecate and urinate in the area, they will litter in the area, and those statutes cannot be enforced because when the actual acts of littering happen, they will not be connectable to any particular vehicle, and therefore the only thing that could be connected directly to a vehicle is the act of sleeping or the presence of being there late at night. You actually have to sleep in a vehicle to be.
And so all the tourists that the Chamber of Commerce is inviting to come here, they don't leave litter?
Well, you see, it's clearly pretty classist legislation, and it also could be dealt with in other ways. It could be dealt with by zoning the city. You know, they're big vehicles, big rigs that come in and camp. People sleep in them every night. It's obvious it's selectively enforced. There's a better solution than this current sleeping ban. If the city council had any serious willingness to proceed, even those minority members of the city council, like Catherine Byers and Celia Scott, who claim to be opposed to the sleeping ban, are utterly gutless. I see them unwilling to even frame a minority plank.
I was disappointed that when we were challenging the injunction that we couldn't get the most pablum and milquetoast declarations from either Catherine or Celia.
again, let me give you this address of Robert North so you can write him before this show is over with.
From the weight of the load and the building's free.
55 7th Street, San Francisco, California, 94103. We're about running out of time here in the queue. I'd like to just say support to the free radio station, because when, like I said, when they outlaw freedom, only outlaws will be free. And in the coming days, we're probably going to go on a little fundraising drive to get money so we can keep this station on the air. And if you'd like to help support the protesters down in City Hall, you can send checks, money order, cash to P.O. Box 1694, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Don't put anybody's name on it. We'll just make sure that Feed the People, Food Not Bombs, Revolutionary Coalition, Jim Costner, and Common Threads Coalition, and the Protesters Defense Fund, Legal Defense Fund. It's costing us money to fight these assholes in court. And they're in court right now, and we're trying to raise money for Sunshine and Sandy and Patrick Ring so they can fight their case in court, and we're going to sue the fascist state. Basically, we're fighting for your rights, so and our rights as well. So it would behoove you to help us out, and Dan and I will be back on the air from 2 to 4. Be sure to listen in there. This ought to be a really good show. I believe it's going to be a really good show. All right, everybody, grab your bong. I'm gonna play you some Zep.
I
FM, Santa Cruz Pirate Radio Station. Now I'm your host, Mad Mike the Wonder Dog. I'll take and filling in for Robert Norris, who's in county jail right now for serving food. I guess my relief is not here, but that's okay. I can handle the station until someone show up. Here's some stones.
This is the Babylon Break from 12 to 2. There's some truly terrifying music.